Do you sometimes wonder, how on earth am I going to find a great relationship, particularly in the middle of this pandemic? Or if you're in a relationship, do you sometimes wonder, how on earth am I going to cope when I'm cooped up with the same person for a month or 2 months and we're continually arguing? If you ever ask yourself these questions, these are a couple of things we're going to talk about in this podcast. So stay tuned. Welcome to the Mind, Body and Relationship Mates. In this new series, we're going to be exploring lots of different areas to do with improving how you think, how you feel, and importantly, how you can improve your relationships. And this coincides with the launching of our new online program, The Relationship Maze, where we explore how you can find and create a relationship that is really fulfilling. Let's introduce ourselves.
I'm Angela Dirks. I'm a therapist. I'm a counsellor, psychotherapist. I work with individual clients. I work with couples, so I have a lot of experience of working with relationships generally in couples. And I also work as a lecturer at a university, teaching on a counselling and coaching programme.
And I'm Tom Mackay, and I've been working as a therapist. I've been working as a trainer, running workshops. I appeared on various television shows on the BBC and Channel 4. And I've been working as a therapist really for over about 25 years now. And together we want to share with you some of the things that we've learned that we really think could make a difference in your lives. And in today's episode, what we're going to be exploring are some things that I think are really relevant to the situation at the moment. Because as we're making this now, you know, currently we're in the middle of this COVID-19 crisis. And we've seen it really affect people in a couple of different ways. So in relationships, we've seen how, you know, suddenly you're stuck at home or you're stuck in the same place with, if you're in a partnership or you're in a relationship, you're stuck with that same person for prolonged periods of time, and that can be pretty tricky. You know, it can bring up arguments, it can bring up kind of disagreements, or kind of we start to notice things that we don't like about the other person.
Yeah, I mean, I get this quite a lot in my couples sessions. I get a lot of distressed couples saying to me, I can't cope with this any longer. There's another month of this coming. We're together all the time. We work at home. We have our partnership at home. We have our children at home. And it's just simply getting too much. So it's really quite difficult to kind of separate our different aspects of life anymore. So we're not going to work anymore. There's no transition, so to speak, traveling home from work and then coming to see your partner, spending time with your partner, and having time away from work or from the family as well. So there is a lot of distress, and what might be really helpful for a lot of couples, paradoxically, is rather than kind of trying to run away from each other and spend more time apart, it's quite helpful to actually create some time in the week when you come together as a couple for the very purpose of being together as a couple. Just discussing what's difficult for you, what you might have been frustrated about with each other. And that in itself, if you've had that conversation with your partner, if you've kind of connected with your partner again, paradoxically also frees you from your partner, so to speak. So you can then also create some time that you spend apart, where you have some agreement that we do need some moments in the week or in the day when we're not actually interacting with each other. We need some time, for example, after work to do something separately, for example, to go for a walk. So you need time apart, that's really important, but you also need time together. And both influence each other. If you've had enough of both, you'd be all right and you'd be more balanced in your relationship.
And I'm wondering, Angela, as well, in terms of the time together, when you spend that time together, if you think it's good to be spending kind of quiet time together or doing activities, what do you think in that time that you spend together might be a really good thing to help kind of build that relationship and kind of cross some of those difficult times?
Difficulties, yeah. I mean, it could be either. It could be, you can experiment with different ways of spending time together. So it might be that you spend the time to talk. So obviously talking is always helpful, particularly if there are difficulties, if there's something that needs addressing in the relationship, if there's been a particular frustration, if the partner's doing something again that is really winding you up. So that needs to be addressed, that needs to be kind of moved out of the way, so to speak. But it doesn't only have to be talking. I mean, it could also be that you spend some time doing something fun together, like, you know, do some dancing, dance around the kitchen table, for example. Learn some moves, how to learn the, you know, the waltz, for example, or do some exercises together. So that in itself could be quite bonding with your partner as well. Or make you laugh, because we need to laugh. We need to have some fun in these rather dire times at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking as well, is that, you know, sometimes doing some activities together, just like dancing or any sort of movement together, because it gets your body moving, it helps you feel better. And also sometimes where kind of talking, you know, where we've got into difficult situations through talking, sometimes having a different way of expressing ourselves can help to kind of bring us closer. And I think that could be really important.
Absolutely. And when you do talk, then do create some sort of safe space around that, so to speak. So make sure that when you do have a conversation, that you don't overdo it, so that you set aside some time during the week where you want to address something that might be challenging. So don't make it more than 10, 15 minutes. And it's really important that both of you have an opportunity to say what they need to say, so that you're both available to each other, that you don't get disrupted by screaming kids, for example, and that you actually make some time to listen to each other, so that both of you have an opportunity to say what they need to say. And that's not always easy, yeah? Because a lot of the time we don't listen to each other, do we? I mean, you know, we just want to talk, we wait for the partner to kind of rush on until and say the piece that we want to say without really taking in what they have to say. So particularly now in these rather challenging times, it's really important that you create that time where you properly listen, where you make some space for each other to express each other, to say what you need to say.
And I was just, in terms of that, because, you know, when we are kind of expressing what we need to say, do you think there are certain good ways to go about that, to introduce that, so we don't suddenly get into, like, all of our kind of things we kind of say what's wrong with the other person and kind of what's making
Absolutely.
Us angry?
Yeah.
What, you know, if there was one little recommendation you could give people to kind of how to kind of maybe introduce those topics or express them, what do you think might be useful?
Okay, so there might be, so there are different ways of going about it. So one way might be that you have an agreement that it's only one of you talking, so only one of you talking for, say, 10 minutes and describing what they're struggling with. So one of you is the talker, one of you is the listener, and the listener doesn't disrupt, doesn't come in, doesn't say, well, but, but the listener is purely there to take on board what the speaker is saying. And what they can do to amplify this and to indicate that they are taking on board what the partner is saying, they can kind of reflect back what they heard them say. So you talk for 5 minutes, or not actually 5 minutes, might be a bit too long, but just for a minute or so, and then you have a pause as the speaker and the other person just says, well, what I heard you say is this or that. And that sounds very simple, but actually it's a really powerful exercise, because a lot of the time we don't do that with each other. We just sort of talk over each other, we both get quite agitated, we want to get our piece across, but we're not really taking in what the partner's got to say. So that's one basic exercise, yeah, that you can do. It sounds basic, but actually it needs quite a lot of practice. And then there are also some rules, right? So when you have a conversation with each other, when you're frustrated with each other, some rules, for example, that you don't bombard each other with too many issues. One issue at the time. Yeah, so if you're frustrated because your partner never cleans the bathroom properly, then have a conversation about that, but not about a whole host of other issues that you're really angry about.
Yeah,
that's one.
Yeah, and just bearing that in mind, I think as well, it's like when you do want to kind of bring some of these things up, it's really useful to think about how you express it, so that when we're saying it, it doesn't sound too judgmental, like, you know, you just don't care about me, or kind of, you're so inconsiderate, and just avoiding words like this, and just noticing actually when, if somebody is, or your partner's doing something that makes you feel like they're not caring about you, finding a way to express it, so it would be something along the lines of, I feel X when you do Y, so, yeah, you know, I feel upset when you leave kind of dirt on the sink or something like that. And kind of just showing that how it makes you feel. Because when we're expressing actually how it makes us feel rather than judging them, people are more likely to respond. Because, you know, as soon as we say, you know, you're so inconsiderate, you're so kind of X, Y, or Z, it immediately puts up a barrier for the other person. They start to get defensive and they don't really listen. And that's where arguments often start. But when we say, you know, I feel really upset when this happens, you know, if somebody says they're feeling upset when somebody else does something, we're more likely to want to do something to help them.
Absolutely, yeah. So I statements rather than you over there and what you, you know, what you do wrong. That's really makes such a difference. And also then when you're having a discussion about something, when you're expressing how frustrated you are about something, you don't want to bring up too many things from the past. You don't want to come up with statements like, well, you always, where you then drag up something that the partner has done last week, the year before, 5 years ago, something like that. So focus on something that is relevant for the present only. Otherwise, it gets too much.
Yeah, and I think one other thing as well, one other tip as well, if you do find certain things trigger you off when you're in your relationship and when you're stuck at home all the time, it's about starting to separate what is it that triggers you and what is your response. So, you know, it might be that maybe they leave something lying around, or maybe kind of you think your partner looks at you in a certain way that you think they're judging you, or whatever it happens to be, and noticing what is the trigger, and then how do you respond? And the real key is not getting so caught up in the emotional response that we start to get out of control. Because I'm sure we've all had times where, you know, suddenly your partner does something or says something, we feel wound up, and we start to kind of get into that angry state. And when you're feeling angry or when you're feeling irritated, suddenly we start kind of expressing it through our words and the tone of our voice and the things that we say, and we kind of lose a bit of control because, you know, that almost the reptilian part of the brain kicks in, where we just go into that automatic way of responding, and we often say things that we regret later.
Absolutely. And a lot of the time we do that because we feel threatened. So a lot of the time this expression, as you say, this anger, this this rage is really an expression of our underlying fear that our partner doesn't get us, doesn't understand us, might not like us anymore, might not care about us. So frequently we get into these arguments because we feel under attack, so to speak, and we want to communicate to our partner that that we're not happy, that we're feeling not cared for, not loved by our partner.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just a quick little tip in terms of something that you can do with that is when you start to think about those triggers, or think about those triggers when you're not in that situation. So start to think back to times where you've been put into this state, or you feel yourself going into this emotional state, and thinking, what is the thing that kind of triggers me into that? Is it the way they say something? Is it a word? Is it a look? What is it about the thing that the other person does that triggers you into that state? And then start to think, well, how can I respond differently? And one way that you can do that is to start to slow down your breathing. Now, I know it sounds like a simple thing, but your breathing is so tied up in how you feel. I mean, you know, if you think about times where you feel anxious, or what you feel frightened, or if you've ever had a panic attack, those times where, you know, what happens to the breathing? Well, it gets really fast and high up in the chest. We start to breathe more quickly. We usually breathe more from the chest. Whereas times when you're feeling relaxed, if you think about how you breathe then, usually it's more from the diaphragm. It's slower. Your breathing is so linked up to how you feel. And it's a really powerful connection to have more control over your feelings. And I'm not saying it's the only thing. It can't necessarily take you out of the biggest emotional state, but it really can help. So I'd say one of the first things to do is, if you start noticing yourself get triggered into a strong emotion, is tune into your breathing. And start to think about slowing your breathing down. Think about breathing from the rib cage. So putting your awareness down around about the rib cage. And techniques that, like things you learn in mindfulness, can be really useful for this. But think about slowing your breathing down, breathing from the rib cage, and maybe breathing into a count of three or four, and then breathing out to a count of three or four. And just slowing it down. As you do that, after a few breaths, often you find that you actually do start to kind of put yourself in a more calm state. It really can help you with those difficult times.
It's really, really helpful, because a lot of the time, when particularly when we're feeling attacked by our partner, we get defensive, right? So the shutters come down, we're just going to block off whatever is coming our way, and we're just saying, no, 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 I don't want to hear that. So breathing is a really good way of, you know, when you notice that you're getting very agitated, to kind of control yourself also in response to what your partner's bringing. So when you are agitated, you slow down your breathing, and when you feel like you're under attack by your partner, you also start, that person also starts to slow down their breathing. Or another way is just to kind of to remove yourself, because it might be appropriate sometimes to just say, well, look, this is too much, I can't cope with this right now. I'm not actually taking in what you're telling me. I don't want to have this conversation about the bathroom right now, because I've got loads and loads of other things on my mind, and now is not the time to discuss it. Can we have an agreement that we postpone it until later in the day, for example, or the next day? And you don't want to leave too much of a gap to address this issue, because otherwise it kind of goes under and it starts to simmer in the background and more resentment is building. You do want to address it, but maybe not at that point in time. You have to be ready to have that conversation and to be receptive to what your partner's got to bring.
Yeah, that's really, really useful. Some really useful topics and really useful kind of advice. And kind of bridging on to the next thing we're going to talk about today. So we talked a little bit about people in relationships, but also COVID-19 can be a really challenging time for people who are single, because, you know, before COVID-19, you might have been dating or you might have been starting to date, and suddenly we're thrown into this situation where we're thinking, you know, is it safe to date? Should we date? Do we need to put off dating? And that can be really challenging, because we know, you know, the situation with lockdowns happening across the world, it can have a real impact on our mental and emotional health. And if we do isolate ourselves fully, that can be very traumatic and very distressing for lots of us. And you know, when we're alone, when we really want to have someone special in our life, if we feel we have to put that off indefinitely because we don't know how soon this is going to go away, you know, that can really have a massive impact on us.
Absolutely. So, I mean, what we would encourage you to do is to, I mean, to reach out to people. That's really important. So isolation is one of the worst impacts of this whole COVID situation, and people feel like they're not being looked after, they're not cared for, nobody's interested in them. So what we would encourage you when it comes to dating is to continue with dating, but to kind of almost take it as an opportunity to slow down the whole process of dating. That's one of the advantages of this scenario, because you can't necessarily meet up regularly. We might be in lockdowns, or there might be rules around meeting up with someone who's not part of your bubble. But it's an opportunity to get to know someone in a very different way, not by meeting up in a restaurant, for example, or in a coffee shop. Meeting up online and taking the time to get to know this other person in a very different way.
Yeah.
In a slower way, so to speak, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, you know, up over the last sort of 10 or 15 years, as there's been more and more of a rise of dating apps, it's become easier and easier to meet people. And sometimes that's actually resulted in the fact that, you know, we often kind of dismiss people quite quickly based on maybe how they look or maybe some superficial things. And, you know, now when we think, because of a situation at the moment, when we think about swiping right, it might be more swiping right with an antiseptic wipe rather than swiping right with a finger on an app. Because it's become a little bit more challenging, and that does open up different opportunities. And I think in some ways it's something that we can, like Angela said, we can slow down, step back and actually start to get to know the other person more deeply. Like in the old days when, you know, people would actually write each other letters and get to know each other through letters.
Yeah,
even.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, so we slow it down. We start to get to know them and think about, I think, thinking about what you want in a relationship. And often we say, we think we know what we want. So we say, yeah, I want somebody who is, you know, intelligent, somebody who's kind. And then we start looking at the dating apps and we suddenly see, they've got nice kind of shoulders or they've got a nice face. And we're suddenly, you know, the
that
other stuff goes out the window.
That becomes more important, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and so it's kind of, it's stepping back and actually thinking, actually, really, what is it that we want? And when you start to chat to them, and not just chatting with messages, but, you know, it's really important to do video calls, get to know them. And that also lets you know they're a real person as well. So that's important. And thinking about what it is you really want and taking the time to think, does this person have those qualities? And sometimes, you know, with dating apps and everything, it's all too easy in the past that, you know, we meet somebody, we kind of really kind of get attracted to them, and we get physically involved with them, maybe kind of more quickly than we would have in the past before the rise of lots of the kind of dating apps. And sometimes as soon as we get physically involved, it's like our body releases different chemicals into the brain, which actually distort our thinking.
Yeah, the brain shuts down, right? Yeah. We're just horny. That's it. We're driven then by our hormones. And that's it. So we're not really seeing the person in front of us then a lot of the time. Yeah. Which is part of this problem as well, isn't it? When you are too, when you get too carried away too quickly with someone, you just often do that because you have this idea in your head about who they might be as a person without really knowing who they are. So you have these sort of fantasies in your head about that they are, you know, brilliant, a brilliant person, they're really clever, they're really smart, they're really successful, whatever it is that, that floats your boat, right? So you have these ideas, but often when you then really get to know the other person, you realize, well, actually, that was my idea, but not quite, that's not really quite true. That's not the person I'm actually getting to know here. They're quite different. They're quite separate from what I want them to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, bearing that in mind, as I said, you want to be clear about what it is that you really want, and not just this, not the superficial things, because those are things that are fleeting. Like Angela said, we get caught up in a moment and we start to think the person is something that maybe they're not. But start to think about a little deeper about the person's values, about kind of some of the deeper qualities that in a long-term partnership are the things that are going to really matter. And, you know, as well as, as part of that, it's probably important as well to be really clear early on to, in what you want from the relationship. So maybe even in a profile or when you start speaking with the person quite soon. And sometimes we hold back because we kind of think, well, if I say what I want, maybe it's going to scare the other person off. But now, you know, we're not in a situation where things are going to rush anyway. If this is a chance to actually think, what do you want? Express that. And, you know, when you find somebody else who is secure inside themselves, they're not going to be frightened away. This is going to be, and these are the sorts of people that we probably want to be involved with in a long-term partnership anyway. So being clear about that and expressing that even quite early on, just in a kind of relaxed way, not in a kind of like overly kind of, I have to have this, and kind of, you know, if we say it in a stressed out way, it might frighten the other person off. But being quite calm about it, just being clear, this is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a long-term relationship.
Yeah, and really thinking about, less thinking about, I want someone who's 6 foot tall, who's got broad shoulders, or I want someone who's got long blonde hair. So these are the sort of qualities that, well, okay, that's kind of, it's nice to have that maybe, and that might find, you might find yourself very attracted to someone with these qualities. But think more along the lines of what it is that you need. What is it that makes me feel good as a person? Yeah. So what is it that I respond well to? So think along those lines of what makes me feel good is, and then write down the qualities that are right for you in a partner.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a really powerful thing. Like I said, you know, when you're writing your profile, you might even kind of make some of those things clear, or just be aware in your mind when you're talking to them, does this person fit into some of those criteria? And, you know, that's a great thing as we're talking to someone quite a lot more before we maybe even meet them. We start to assess that. Yeah.
So do they want the same thing in life? Do they have the same visions that of a joint life, for example, in terms of what you might want to do together? If, for example, if you're really a very avid traveller, you're a curious person, wants to travel around the world, get to know places, etc. Do you have someone in front of you who is willing to do that with you, or are they more sort of like a stick in the mud, stay at home kind of person, who likes their home comfort and is not going to do that with you? Or, of course, the really big issue always is around children. Particularly if you are of that age where this is relevant to you, to start thinking about whether you want to have children or a family. You know, clarify from the outset whether you are in front of someone here who shares the same vision as you do. So either does want to have children, doesn't want to have children. So get some sense of, is this someone who has a similar idea about sharing life together, creating a life together?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, you might be thinking, well, how do you find that out? And it's really just ask them and maybe kind of write out some questions that you can ask. And, you know, and when we're talking about some of these things, it's not that, you know, we're saying from the outset, it's not that the first time you speak to them, as soon as they come online and are on video, we're saying like, so do you want to have children?
Yes.
You know,
no, maybe, sure.
Yeah, so it's like... Yeah, talking a bit first, but you know, fairly early on, and before you meet them, before you do get involved physically, whereas, you know, as we talked about, when you're getting physically involved, suddenly the brain goes into this kind of distorted state, and we lose track of some of those things that are really important to us. So it sounds, you know, asking a person, you know, so do you like travelling? Where have you been in the past? And we get a sense of that, or... You know, so like, you know, how you asking a person about, you know, even talking about some relationships in the past can be okay, and just assessing, you know, has that person been in long-term relationships before? Do they seem to have just been, if they're talking to you and it seems like they've just been lots of very short-term relationships, it may be that that person struggles with commitment. So there may be some cues that we start to get and kind of get familiar with and understand before we meet that person, which, you know, sometimes when we rush into something, it can end up in one of us getting heartbroken or kind of, you know, just not finding what we want or even losing hope over time.
Absolutely. And also, finally, I think it's kind of really important to remember that when you first meet someone, you tend to overemphasize what you have in common. You tend to over focus on the similarities, for example, focusing on the movies that you both like, or focusing on music that you share, or books you read, or something like that. And then you think, oh wow, we both like the same thing. We must be on the same level here. Yeah, we must be, you know, this must be the right partner for me because we share the same taste. Well, so this is kind of true on some level, but really in the long run, this is not enough to sustain you as a couple. And these kind of factors are not in the long run that important. Also because you, as I say, you kind of, you focus in particular on hearing similarities while not really listening to the differences that might be there between both of you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a really important point. And we're going to be finishing off this episode quite soon. Just one little thing I wanted to add, which not quite the same thing, but just a little practical tip in the current situation is, you're thinking about, well, there is going to be a time where you maybe do want to meet them. And although there may be restrictions in place, like I think in most countries, there are some advice, the government gives advice that you can form bubbles. So it might be that you can meet somebody. But I think what's really important is before you do meet somebody for the first time, whether it's in a restaurant or a park, think about just a few practical things that you both feel comfortable with. Because when they're not said, sometimes the other person doesn't feel comfortable, and we both want to feel comfortable. So it might be little things like, you know, will we keep a social distance? Will we kind of wear a mask? And even thinking like, well, where can we meet that we both feel safe travelling to?
Yeah.
So if you're not comfortable taking public transport, you know, is there somewhere out you can travel to and meet where you both feel comfortable? Because the more comfortable you feel when you're actually on that date, the better that date is going to go.
Absolutely. Great. I think we've sort of come to the end for this podcast now, haven't we?
Yeah, so absolutely. And like I said, during these episodes, we're going to be exploring more about the mind, body and relationships. And with relationships, as we've talked a lot about relationships today, whether you're interested in improving the whether you're interested in improving the relationship that you're in, or whether you're single and want to find and create a really fulfilling relationship, these are things that we cover in a lot of depth on our online course, therelationshipmaze.com.
Yeah, so we're looking at issues that are relevant to single people who are looking for a date or looking for a long-term partner, as well as couples who are in relationship, and the kind of issues that are relevant, the sort of struggles and challenges that they might experience when in relationship.
Great. So have a great week. Stay safe. And we look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Bye for now.
I hope you enjoyed this week's podcast. If you'd like to find out more about creating great relationships, go to therelationshipmaze.com. And I look forward to seeing you there. And remember to tune in to the next podcast.